Oh, dance. I missed it.
Too busy Snapchatting.
I blew it.
We could do it again.
No, no. Never. We never do anything again on this one.
I love that.
Never.
I love that.
Never.
What a hilarious recap that was.
Yeah, that was a great recap by Pat. Pat, how did you get it cut in time? You were at Disney on Monday. You had a lot on the go. Can I post a video on Instagram?
Yeah. As of today, you can post videos up to 1 minute long.
Wow. Right.
Well, guess what? I'm about to do that right now.
And boom. Welcome to the Jay and Dan Podcast, episode 105.
So what's new about
Country
Instagram?
Country 105. Country 105 was the country station of my
Did they change Instagram or something?
Yeah, I'm
what did they do?
I'm confused about it. And I feel like Pat and Ben are the ones who can explain it to us.
Good. Well, they've now, as of today, you can upload up to 60-second videos instead of 15-second videos. And the news feed is now prioritizing based on what you may want to see and what's popular, similar to Facebook.
Hey, sucks.
Hey, go f*** yourself. Yeah. I'll see what I want.
Why are they doing that, guys? What is the reason behind
that? So am I missing things then when I'm on the Instagrams?
You're already missing things. They're combating that is the goal.
They're combating it? How are we missing things if we're following the people we want to follow?
Though? Well, those will still be the only people you see stuff from.
Oh.
It's like,
so I'm not seeing like random.
Let's say hypothetically you like every picture Dan posts.
Right.
That just means
that's definitely not true.
Let's keep it hypothetical. That just means it's more likely Dan's photos will show up whenever you open Instagram.
Perfect. Oh, how about that?
Can't wait to see all Dan's pics of his junk.
It was getting hot in there. That's right. Hey, we're back after the Easter break.
Oh, we've had some fun, haven't we? No, I guess.
Went and had a big ham at your house.
Nice.
Big ham.
Yeah, Dan came over for some hot ham.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, we had the ham. And
pants were optional.
Yeah, everybody took their pants off. Our friend Tom told guests he came down.
Tom, had Tom ever had a meal before?
What?
He had, like, sevenths.
Well, because he... Like, Tom travels a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And he, you know, he's on the road, and I'm like, where have you been eating? You got any good places? He's like, well, I went to Del Taco. I'm like, cool.
He went to the one by my house.
Oh, boy.
I get to eat like this.
Tom, I don't know. I don't know if Del Taco is the first choice.
Give him a box of Twinkies. And
that's the Del Taco I went to, and 2 hours later.
Yeah. Oops. I just spilled all over my script here.
And Tom is also the gentleman that we told you about in London. Who I had been walking around London, downtown London with him for 2 hours when he decided to say, Dan, not sure if we've met one another, but I'm Tom. And he was serious.
That's one of my favorite stories ever. But in his defense, he had had a cider and he was pretty loaded.
Dan O'Toole here.
He actually did. We bought two ciders for Tom and I was genuinely concerned if he would be able to stand by.
That's his nickname, Two-Sider Tom.
Two-Sider Tom. What? One is not enough, three's too many. Two is just right. Yeah, it was a tasty ham. Still eating the leftovers. Easter.
And then we had an Easter egg hunt?
We had Easter egg. Yeah.
I did that on the way home.
And then an orgy.
Delicious.
We all stripped Tom down and
covered him in ham.
Everything's coming up, Jay and Dan. Would it be weird if we ate our ham, Easter ham dinner off of Tom's naked chest?
Make it a family tradition.
There's Tom, Jay Onright and his wife checking out the action.
Yeah, every year my wife and I invite Tom to stay with us. And we just say, all right, strip down. It's like, I don't want to strip down. And we're like, do it! It's Easter!
And then your daughter, when she's older, they're telling Easter stories at school. And she's like, yeah, we had ham off Tom again.
Yeah, ham off Tom, off two-sider Tom. And everyone's like, what? And you're like, you know how you traditionally have ham off one of your friend's naked torsos? And the teacher's like, that is not normal. You need to get out of that house. I'm calling Child and Family Services tomorrow.
Oh, boy.
What a great weekend of ham. And then you went to the club on Saturday. You were like, you're sitting in the hot tub, and then all of a sudden some Brits just say, hey, come to the club with us. Is that basically what happened?
I was walking in, and they said, hey, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to my house. They said, come on, we're going to the club.
That's so friendly. Like I love who we are as Canadians, but Canadians wouldn't ever do that. Canadians aren't like, oh, hey, random stranger, come with us to the club.
And once I got over the fear that they might harvest my organs, I was okay.
Yeah, I guess there's always that threat.
You never know.
Well, or that they might want to eat ham off you next Easter.
We've got our ham guy.
2016.
Keep it on the DL.
The year of
so, what are your thoughts on ham?
We've got our ham guy.
Hey, babe, you want to go out?
We've been looking all over Venice.
Come here, cutie.
We found our ham guy.
We haven't brought up our new entry onto the Canadian Wall of Fame.
Come here, daddy.
This is exciting, Dan. We got this tweet from @LethalHethal. Says @LethalHethal says 50 years ago George Shavallo went 15 rounds with Muhammad Ali. Why isn't he on the Wall of Fame? We thought that was a terrific question, and so George Shavallo, the greatest Canadian heavyweight ever, is now on the Canadian.
Some say greatest chin in boxing history.
Yeah. I mean, 15 rounds with Ali. There's a great shot of it. Right.
And Rocky Marciano said he was born 100 years too late because he would have been great in, like, bare-knuckle fighting.
He's finally on the wall. Good there to have him on here.
If you're wondering what kind of order do our celebrities, our Canadian celebrities, go up in, there's no order.
It's totally random.
You send us a suggestion, we'll like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, it's totes rand.
You got a ham guy? We can put him up.
Yeah, you want it? You can put your ham guy up here. We'll be happy to put
all aboard.
We'll put Two Cider Tom up here if we have to.
A lot of people suggesting Mike Botticello. That's never going to happen.
Well, how about this?
Mike is dead.
What if we put Mike up by Ben Mulroney?
Yeah, I was thinking that. Why is The Weeknd so far up?
Yeah, well, somebody's got to go next to Ben, and he's such a nice guy.
Hey, The Weeknd, we need a hit. Come on.
Good Scarborough guy. We put him right next to Ben. Yeah. Ben. Has Ben ever been to Scarborough? Well, I guess he'd have to have been if he's been up to CTV.
Yeah. No Scarborough in and out. And our guest today is a college football insider. Would you call him an insider or a protagonist?
College antagonist?
Football. Editorialist?
Editorialist. Clay Travers. We're going to get his story because our Canadian listeners might not know what he does down here in the United States, but it's a very interesting story.
They might know him from Twitter and people on Twitter who don't like him. Your Richard Deitches, your Bruce Arthurs, the Twitter police. They don't like Clay very much because Clay is the kind of person who will say things just to get a rise out of people, and that's why we love him. I gotta say, Clay, I was just talking to before we
name dropper.
Yeah, yeah. As Darren Pang says, Gretz told me never to name drop.
Hey, that's a in the hall. Boom. Hey, yo.
What, is that what you said to him? Hey, yo.
I was just dropping him. He did call me Jay, though. He's like, I mean Dan. Sorry.
Sorry. Well, he just had just shot a pretty awesome pilot or something.
I don't know. I'm not giving out info because we always get in trouble when we do.
Well, I'm going to give it out right now because that's what we do. All right. So they shot a pilot. I understand that was involved. I understand that was involved. And was involved.
Wow.
We'll bleep all this out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Ben, can you bleep this all out?
Absolutely.
Okay. What a star-studded list of guests that was.
That was a great list. Too bad we cut it all out. But was saying that he, and I agree with this, like Clay should have his own show on FS1. Like Clay was involved in this pilot. Clay doesn't need to be involved with a group of people. It should just be Clay in front of a camera for half an hour talking. Yeah. That's a show right there. I mean, I know he does that on the Periscope and all that. And
Facebook
Live. Yeah. But, you know, we need him to do that for FS1. Pat, why hasn't that happened already for Clay?
We're probably just not doing a good enough job supporting his current show. So it's probably my fault.
All right. Ooh. Well,
didn't you guys go to Facebook headquarters?
You and Clay?
Clay was there last Friday.
You didn't go?
No, I was at work.
Secret meetings with Zuckerberg?
He'll be there again next week, too, actually.
At Facebook headquarters?
I'd love to go there. Yeah. Don't they have slides and such?
Slides?
They have slides instead of, like, stairs.
No, they don't.
No?
No.
Who, Google does? Someone's got slides.
I've never been to Google.
Nobody has slides.
So who's got the slides?
That's like some sort of dream you had after too much ganj.
Do you smoke crack cocaine?
No, I've seen it. I've seen the people sliding down them.
Are you talking about the movie The Internship?
Yeah, The Internship. That was a movie.
I refuse to ever watch
Clay it. Travis, everybody.
Oh, Clay's here.
Clay Travis, everybody. Come have a seat, my friend.
This is an
I peed here, sorry.
Clay, we were just discussing, and one of the high-tech companies like Google or YouTube or something, they have slides instead of stairs, right?
Slides instead of stairs.
You mean
inside
like,
let's
complex.
Move down here. Let's move
inside
down.
Their complex.
Down. How's that?
I don't know. That's okay. Pretty cool. Like in big?
Something like that.
Or
but
the internship.
I'm the only one that's seen these pictures?
No, I know nothing about I didn't see that movie.
You're talking about movies. This is not real.
Yeah, this is if you saw something on a movie, that doesn't mean that exists in the company.
You guys are going to be I'll bring it up back next week.
I don't see movies anymore since I have an 8, a 5 and a 1-year-old. And
right.
Before we had kids, yeah. My wife and I, we would go see every possible movie, right? Like
right.
Everything.
Yep.
And nowadays, like I catch it on TV or I end up, streaming things on Netflix, but mm-hmm. it's rarely movies. I watch television now. So
you watch all the kids' movies though.
Oh my f***ing God, do yeah. I watch all the
everything.
Kids' movies.
Now, so Dan has an 8 and a 5-year-old. So I feel like maybe play dates in Nashville are in order.
Perfect. Well, I've tried to tell you guys that you need to come. I know your fiance or your wife was coming with all of her girlfriends.
Yes.
Like then they ended up not coming.
They canceled that because the Canadian dollar.
They found out
that
I was the Canadian dollar in the tank. Nashville, you guys would love Nashville.
I can't wait.
You could come in for a hockey game. I know, pick a team that you want to come watch. And then the arena is right downtown.
Right.
So you can go pregame, go to get great barbecue, drinks, everything else.
Man.
Walk right in. Like, you don't need a car the whole time you're there. I mean, it's really an ideal kind of small-sized town to go out and have a good
every
time
every single beat writer for hockey that goes there in the playoffs or the regular season, they just rave about it.
Yeah, they say it's their favorite place.
But is that buzz going across the country, and now you're getting more tourists, probably?
Yeah, I actually feel like I should stop talking about how awesome. Like, I'm born and raised in Nashville, so I have kind of ridden it from, it's this country western not cool place along about 2001 right about the time of 2000 everything just took off and it became really really cool. I've always liked Nashville, but it's beginning traffic's getting worse. Like there's tours, you can't get a hotel room.
Just like Austin.
Right.
Austin is
Austin has blown up in the same way, and so I feel like I should say it's a crappy city. You don't need to come.
Would you ever move out here? Like if you suddenly were given the show that we were just discussing that you should already have on FS1, would you move the family out?
It would be a decision for my wife more than it would be for me. I mean, just because I love what I do, but I feel guilty. Because my family's happy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of people have to make that decision no matter what you do in life. And if you are – like I work a lot. Like I spend a lot of time doing what I do. And I feel like I would be happy doing that anywhere. Like anywhere. I don't like cold weather. I don't want to be where it's cold. Like things like that. But I would be happy doing that anywhere. But, my wife and the kids, whatever they would want. So you would have to sell her on the idea of doing something
Just
different.
Spend a week out here in the winter. It's
yeah.
great. Tell us your story. Give us the sneak peek at
give us the
where
cliff
you
notes.
Began and,
Clay's cliff
and how you're here now.
So you guys will love this. So when I finished school, I was 25 years old. Too young to get married, but we immediately got married. And I had a job opportunity. I could have stayed in Nashville and continued to practice law. And
what form of law?
Litigator. So representing most of what young lawyers do is represent big companies because we have a lot of loans to pay off. And so I could have been like a lawyer, representing big companies in Nashville. Or there was a guy who had graduated from Vanderbilt Law School and moved to the Caribbean. And he worked at the biggest law firm in the Caribbean, which had 13 attorneys.
Tax shelter.
And a lot of that. A lot of illicit activity, we'll say. They advertised for us at the Vanderbilt Law School. And I was like, oh, this would be cool. Like I like the Caribbean. I like that lifestyle. I'm a warm weather guy, flip-flop shorts kind of guy. And I said, let's go down there. And I interviewed. And then we got the offer. And so we were getting married, and we decided, it'd be cool. Let's move to the Caribbean.
Yeah.
So at 25 awesome. Years old, I got married to my wife, who I'd met at Vanderbilt. We moved. We leave the States. Like 2 days. She's from Michigan, so we got married in Michigan. Big Detroit Red Wings fan. All of her family. We get married there. 2 days later, we moved to the Caribbean.
Wow.
In the U.S. Virgin Islands. So, and then like a week later, I start work as an attorney down there. And it's crazy. That first fall, so I'm a huge football fan, you guys know that, and NFL fan, and I assumed that I could get the NFL Sunday ticket. Like, I didn't even think about it. When you're out of your jurisdiction.
Oh, boy, no games.
You can get whatever game. Like, I wanted to watch the Titans play, mm-hmm. and so I assumed that I'd be able to get those. So the U.S. Virgin Islands at this time is the only place in the entire United States that does not get the NFL Sunday ticket.
Ooh.
So the only NFL games you could get were whatever the national game was on the local CBS there, which was always like the Giants or the Jets because we had the New York CBS affiliate.
Right.
And then whatever the Fox game was, national Fox game. And so we only got like whatever, two or three NFL games a week. And I was like, hold on, is this real? Like, you couldn't go. And what I mean by that is you couldn't go to, like, a bar. Like, everybody's like, oh, just go to a sports bar. The sports bars didn't have the NFL Sunday ticket because it wasn't available.
Wow.
And so I'm a 25-year-old attorney in the Virgin Islands. And I remember reading some guy, like, there's a weird quirk about living in a territory there. You can't vote for president.
Right.
Like it,
just like Puerto Rico.
Like,
right?
Puerto Rico. Yeah. You're also, like, in this weird kind of constitutional gray area. And so this guy had gone on a hunger strike over presidential elections. So I decided that I would go on a pudding strike. And I would only eat Hunt's snack pack puddings until we got the NFL Sunday ticket in the U.S. Virgin Islands.
How effective was that, Clint?
It was incredibly effective. So we started a website. This is where I started writing online. This is in 2004. We started a website called NFLPuddingStrike.com.
Give him a box of Twinkies, and this guy's ready to roll.
And I did pudding reviews and started my pudding strike against the NFL.
This is amazing.
And so I had, you know, like I had written before, obviously, but I'd never written online. That was when I started writing online. So in 2004, got tons of free media attention. You could probably right now Google it and still pull me up. And so the website got a ton of attention. Everybody's paying attention, like, this is an injustice. How do they not have it? And what we ended up, like, so I did it for 50 days. Now, I was cheating because, like, I was practicing law at the time, and it honestly got so much more attention than I ever thought it would. I did a pudding diary, I called it, every day, where I, like, wrote about the struggle. And eventually we got a illegal DirecTV Latin America feed brought into the island that allowed everybody to be able to watch the NFL Sunday ticket.
The pudding strike.
You did it.
Pudding
strike. Pudding did it.
But that led you to writing online? And
writing online, and then I started my own site, and we kept writing. And so I've been writing online now for 12 years. So I came into everything that I do now. Writing led to radio, and writing led to books, which led to radio and more writing, and then now eventually to TV.
And you do shows online already. The thing I'm always curious about you is you are almost ahead of the curve with the online stuff. Do you have any desire to do TV now? Because it's almost like, in a way, you'd be like, well, I'm stepping to an older technology. I'm just going to stick to the whole streaming thing.
Yeah, my theory is that they're coming together. And right. I'm not a technological genius. The fact that I make a living writing online, all those things, like, whatever. Like, I think I can kind of schematically understand things, but, like, if you told me explain how the internet works, I would be totally at a loss. Like, how does a camera work? Like, I don't know any of that stuff. But I think what we're seeing is TV is becoming more like the internet, and they're all going to coexist. And so I do this show on Outkick where we stream directly to Facebook and to Periscope every day for, like, an hour. And, you know, I did daily radio for 5 years. So, like, our buddy Petros, like, I would talk for 3 hours a day. Mm-hmm. And it's a fun experience, and I missed it when I left. And so this kind of combines the best of both those worlds.
And you don't have to leave your house.
And I don't have – and I can do it anywhere in the country, which is great. Like, I was in Vegas for the NCAA tournament. As long as I got a Wi-Fi signal, I can do it. I did it yesterday from the low-level the rooms down there, like the dressing rooms. Like,
oh, yeah.
Oh, here.
Yeah,
Fox.
Yeah, in Fox. Like,
in basement.
Literally in the basement.
Yeah.
And so I like that aspect of being able to do it. It just makes it easy. I can have a life. Like, we were in New York last week with vacation with the kids, and in the morning my wife would take them to go get breakfast, and I would just do the show from the hotel room.
How can we do our show from anywhere?
We need to figure that out,
Dan. We need to get that.
Pat, well, how do we do that?
We can make it happen.
All right.
Muldowney has been awesome with the show. I mean, like, so the Fox
Whoa, let's just back up.
Yeah.
Muldowney's been awesome?
Yeah. The same guy?
Yeah, same guy.
This guy.
Surprising.
Oh, Boba Fett.
Talk about your
old school Boba Fett shirt over
there. Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know. I think it's cool. I think it's fun.
Now, you don't just talk about sports. You also talk about politics. And Jay and I, this is the first time we've been down here for what's going to be
a
year-long presidential election.
Can you guys vote?
No, we can't. So we find it, especially this year, fascinating.
Don't listen to the losers.
I can't get enough.
We're going to have the two most hated people to ever run for president running for president.
Yes.
So it's going to be Trump-Hillary,
It's going to be Trump-Hillary. I think it would be a big surprise if it's not Trump-Hillary. And those are – I mean, and it's not hyperbole. Those are the two most hated people to ever run for president. Like, everybody who's going to vote for Hillary would shoot Donald Trump dead. And everybody who's going to vote for Donald Trump would shoot Hillary dead. It's the most bipolar possible result. But, yeah, I love politics. So when I went to college in Washington, D.C., And I worked on Capitol Hill. I worked in Democratic politics, trying to get trying to get Democrats elected in Tennessee. It's like trying to push a rock up the hill. And now I would say I'm very middle of the road. Like, I feel like I look at the far left and the far right, and I'm just like, who are these people?
Right.
Like, I have some. If I have a form of rational thought, I think it's very hard to be a left winger or a right winger. Like, you have to like some of what. Like some yeah. elements of both sides.
I would agree with you, but what's your take on the Trump phenomenon?
Because
for
this
me,
is bizarre.
This is so
you guys
weird.
Are times 3,000.
Well, yeah. I mean, for me, it was like, well, this is another fringe candidate who's going to come in and it'll land eventually and he'll get some attention for himself. But my theory is that all the other candidates on the Republican side are so unappealing
yeah.
and so uninteresting or unappealing that he is just by, you know, almost like by default become the guy.
So I also, so when I went to also get an MFA in writing, so and one of my teachers there had what I think is a really brilliant idea. He said that every story that you tell has to be ultimately able to be distilled to a sentence. And he got to its story in a sentence. And he said he came up with the idea. He said, like, I'm not a genius. I used to get the TV guide. And, like, if you read the TV guide, it's like Ross and, you know, like Monica. You're like, whatever the story of Friends is for
yeah.
that episode.
One
like
sentence.
Every sentence. You have yeah. to be able to
you
distill
You can pretty
it.
Much describe every episode in one sentence
yeah.
on that show.
Yeah. any show, which is even crazier, is like a well-constructed show can be described in a sentence. A well-constructed story can be described in a sentence. Donald Trump's entire political campaign right now is, I am not a pussy. Right? Like, if you distill right. Donald Trump's campaign mm-hmm. slogan, and he was like, what does it represent? He's running for president on the mantra of, I am not a pussy.
You're
like
tremendous that, in a class act.
Like, really think about it. Like, yeah. he doesn't have a coherent political philosophy.
No.
Like, he isn't a far right-wing guy, except that he's got a couple of crazy right-wing things. Like, we're going to build a wall, which is, like, this obsession. We're going to, like, make better deals. We're going to, like, get American jobs back. Like, everything that he says.
He says he's going to build, like, rocket trains, everything.
Yeah, actually, the trains in Europe, yeah. they're great. We're going to have those here.
Yeah, and so, ironically, every time you attack Donald Trump, he's getting attacked by guys that he or girls that he thinks are pussies.
Right.
And so they make him stronger. And so you have like this Emory protest to Trump 2016 written in chalk. And those people are like, we're standing up to Donald Trump. We're not going to allow this. They're making him stronger.
Yeah.
I'm convinced that like Donald Trump is the ultimate like unattackable candidate
he
because
is.
Most people like him. Not because of what he actually represents, because, again, his political philosophy is totally incoherent. It is just he makes people feel like they want to feel. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, and he's
– Patrick has a
– Yes.
Patrick
I was just going to say,
up.
You – going into this, you can't attack Trump thing. You yes. predicted what's the craziest thing somebody could say about Trump, and then it happened.
I said Marco Rubio could, you know, like somebody attack his dick size, and he's going
he
to
actually did that.
He's going to have to respond to it because he'll be insulted by it. And he came out and bragged about the size of his penis
yeah.
in a debate.
Yeah, he did it in a presidential debate,
and his numbers go up.
Yeah,
you know,
have and we got to the bottom of the size of his hands yet?
I he says they're totally
but
normal.
But someone
size.
Shook his hand. A lot of people have shaken his hands. They must know he's got stubby
well,
fingers.
He
or
held
not.
Them up. I think they're normal size. I mean, I'm just baffled by you summed it up. He's like John Gotti. He can't nothing sticks to him. Like
yes.
people coming after him and for whatever reason he's able to it's not like he's the greatest debater. Like Ted Cruz is probably a better debater.
Clearly, but he's also evil. Like that's my theory on Ted
Cruz. Ted
Cruz
is the creepiest human I've ever seen.
People are afraid of Donald Trump. And my position on this is like Donald Trump is a deal maker, right? Like ultimately he's gonna try he's a businessman. Like he's gonna try to make money, he's gonna make the best deal he can. True believers are who scares me.
Yeah.
And Ted Cruz is a true believer. Like if you told me right now that we're gonna elect a Republican and it was Donald Trump, I wouldn't be happy. But if you told me it was Ted Cruz, I'd be like, we're fucked. Like, I would be really scared.
And what's scary is it's like the quote-unquote establishment on the Republican side almost seems to favor Cruz
yes,
just
now,
because they don't want
Trump
in there. Yeah.
But and again, because Trump is not really a Republican. That's why I think he yeah. has some appeal in the general election. Because, like, the scary Republicans to me are the people who are like, you can't teach evolution to my kids
right.
in school. We're going to have this position because the second verse of Leviticus says this, right? Like, that's kind of scary.
Yeah.
Donald Trump doesn't believe any of that.
No.
Like, he's not religious. He doesn't care about, you know, like, abortion. Like,
I was going to say he's pro abortion, pro gay rights, pro
thing. At some point he has been, and I've said before, like, I would wager substantial sums of money that Donald Trump has paid for multiple abortions in his life.
Right.
Right? Like, it's hard for him. It's hard for him to be like anti, you know, like
Did you see this incident with Cruz?
Here it comes.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Again, spill.
Oh, crap. Oh God. No.
I keep spilling my yerba mate.
No, get it away.
Good thing there's no wires in the way.
No. What's
that
he doing
was
with
during
it?
The debate.
He just ate something off his lip.
Something on Ted Cruz's lip was there for 30 seconds.
Oh, no,
and
no,
then.
No. Thanks, man. No.
Wait for it.
No. No.
Wait for
no.
it.
Wait for it.
No. Oh, then he ate it. So I think it was a piece of a Tic Tac or something.
I saw that and I was like, I don't, like, somebody needs to just, I think, sit down with Ted Cruz and just tell him, you're not going to be president.
Yeah.
And you can be a senator.
Stop it.
Like, you can be successful in life. But you need to give up on the dream that you're going to be president.
Well, do you see the one clip that someone put together? Whenever the crowd applauds, he does the same thing. He goes.
He's just thoroughly artificial.
Yeah.
It's just the same thing every time.
He's really smart. And so plus artificiality plus true belief and all this, it's just, I think he's by far the
scariest. What the hell's going on over there?
I spilled all my yerba mate.
How? It's in a mug.
I don't know.
It always surprises me. Because, you know, you have kids. Like, you think that there's not much in the, like, mug, and then they spill it, and you're like, how is there that much water in a mug?
Exactly.
Like, or whatever the object is.
Plus, I have to keep this so we can do our Casper mattresses read.
Oh, why don't we do that right now?
There we go.
This show is brought to you by Casper. Casper is an obsessively engineered mattress at a shockingly fair price. It has just the right sink, just the right bounce. There's a risk-free trial and return policy. Try sleeping on Casper for 100 days with free delivery and painless returns. It's all made in America. It's only $500 for a twin-size mattress, $950 for a king. Wow. Compare that to the industry average, and it's an outstanding price. Get $50 towards any mattress purchased by visiting casper.com/JD and using JD terms and conditions.
You just guys have just
up
destroyed,
the
like, right? With the budget cuts going on right now, I think you just wiped out a whole other room in Fox. I don't know where you guys are going to be able to do your show now.
That's how we do things. We destroy this place room by room.
Room by room.
Literally.
Yes.
So the cleanup went well. Good job.
Can I ask another question? You are fascinated by this Gawker Hulk Hogan story.
Yeah, I really am.
So our listeners know, Gawker was brought to... Well, he was sued. They were sued by Hulk Hogan, right?
For posting a sex tape
That's
of Hulk
right.
Hogan and his, at the time, best friend's wife.
And Hulk Hogan wanted, he's due to get $150 million or something like this.
$140 million. And so,
but Gawker's not even worth that.
No, they aren't. And I think you can tie it in with the Erin Andrews verdict. You know, she got $55 million in Nashville over the Peep show video that the guy illegally recorded. And I think what we're kind of working towards is reconciling where privacy exists.
Right.
If I say something right now on this show, or you guys say something right now on this show, people disagree with it, they can take it and they can say whatever. Like, we're talking in a public forum.
Correct.
But if you and I are in a dressing room and there's nobody else around, like, there's a sense that we would be in our privacy, right? Like, we would have private moments. And I think the challenge is for real celebrities like Hulk Hogan or Erin Andrews, do they still have private moments? And I think the answer is yes. Like, my theory, and I got
100%
yes. I got some heat for this. I'm curious what you guys think. We talked a lot about the Donald Sterling audio when it came out.
Right.
Not reprehensible. The guy's racist. He's old.
Yeah.
He's an unlikable figure.
Yep. As Bill Burr said, I'm surprised it wasn't worse.
Yeah. Right. But what I focused on there was it was a private conversation that was illegally recorded inside of his house.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you guys, but every conversation that I have had with a girl that I've been dating or my wife inside of a private residence, like, I assume that that's our private property, right?
Right. Right.
And I think what a lot of people are starting to say is, even in an internet era, there is still such a thing as privacy. And I think people looked at that Hulk Hogan case and said, what Gawker is effectively arguing here is that there is no such thing as privacy for public figures. And if that's true, then in theory, I'll give you an example, not that anybody would want to watch it, but if somebody illegally put a camera inside my house and had, most of the time it would be my wife, like, sleeping while I slept beside her, and she chose not to sleep with me. But on the rare occasion when we actually had sex, and somebody illegally recorded that, I'm in some sense a public figure. Theoretically, Gawker could publish that. I think everybody who's listening to that right now would say, that seems not right, right?
That's,
there should be protection
1,000%
for everybody
right.
out there. So for Hulk Hogan, he's a he doesn't know that he is being recorded. It is in a private home, much like the Aaron Andrews tape. And I think this idea that it's being distributed is striking people as wrong. And so the law is far behind where the technology is.
Right.
And so you think about, like, back in the day, it would have been great, brilliant journalistic minds at the New York Times or the Washington Post sitting around a table debating, is this news? Now you've got, like, I was an editor at Deadspin. Like, I was 26 years old making a decision on whether something is news with 10 minutes to think about it and nobody to discuss it with. And so a part of me is sympathetic for AJ DeLoria, who I know well and worked with at Deadspin, the guy who posted this video, because he's like, it's like, I remember Harry Truman said that being a president was like trying to ride a tiger. Being like a Gawker editor or a Deadspin editor is like trying to ride a tiger. Like, every day is wild. You have no idea what's going to show up in your inbox, what's going to be news, what the story's going to be. And so he saw that and thought, this is news. And I guarantee you he didn't sit around and think, what's the legality of this? He didn't have a legal team that he's bouncing it off of.
And sex tapes everywhere.
Sex tapes are everywhere. Right? And a lot of times people are fine with their sex tapes being out because, you know, Kim Kardashian's career got launched.
That's the only way
Paris
Hilton.
Career
got
Otherwise,
launched.
You would have never heard of these
exactly.
people. And so this idea that Hulk Hogan, who is this, you know, vital figure in American, certainly pop culture, he probably thought that he was fine with it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're, well, that's, or even if he didn't think, that he was fine with it.
Still thought it was newsworthy because...
I'm sure he thought it was newsworthy, but he probably didn't think there was any way that he could get sued over it or anything like
that. That it was ever possible that you could have a company like that die because of one post.
So are they going under?
Crazy.
What's going to happen with them?
It's gonna, I think if the appeal... So first of all, they have to post a $50 million bond, which is going to be a challenge in and of itself. But secondly, they will appeal it, and I think we're going to end up with... Remember, like, The People versus Larry Flint was a movie with Woody Harrelson, like, pretty popular. Like, I think we're going to have a major precedent about online news if this case continues that will eventually be set.
See Supreme Court level.
I think it could be Supreme Court level. Mm-hmm. And the example I use is we need to give people some kind of understanding of what the law is in this arena. It's the same way that, like, I always thought when I was in law school and you'd read, like, a criminal case. Cops have really difficult jobs because – a lot of times the law is uncertain about what they're doing, and they're trying to apply complex legal principles while somebody is shooting at them or while they're pulling somebody over. Like their life, while the rubber hits the road, they have to make really difficult decisions. And some justices would say, we need to give them bright line rules because they have to be able to understand what's legal and what's not. I think there's an element of that should happen for people who write on the internet now, because right now the law is unsettled and you have to decide, is this worthy of being posted or is it not? Is it a legitimate news story, or is it one that could bankrupt my company?
Wasn't it also revealed in all that Hulk has no money?
Oh, I don't know. Was it?
It wouldn't shock me. I mean, it seems like everybody who's in entertainment eventually goes bankrupt.
I heard him do a repo center commercial on LA radio today, like a local radio. So
okay, so that's usually
fair.
A good sign. Things
are not perfect.
Hey, I'd welcome that money. Come on.
Dan would do a repo ad in a second.
I would
jazz.
Yeah, so
that
I think that story is fascinating.
It is, and it's almost going to like govern journalism on the web now as we go forward, right? Because it still is a bit of a Wild West element to the whole.
Well, there's going to be there'll be a lot of other lawsuits, I think, because people will look at it and say, I think I could sue for this. I think there will be a lot of reticence for places that make decisions on a day to day basis of whether or not this is newsworthy. Like, we get tips all the time at OutKick. And I will sit there and I'll be like, a lot of people would read this, but I don't think I can put it up. You know, it's just like, and people are probably shocked who read OutKick. They're like, there are things you don't put up? Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that I'm like, I think people would read it, but we just can't quite get away. I can't justify it. Like, I'm afraid that it's not legal.
It's almost like, Clay, it's almost like all these veteran news editors who've been let go over the course of the last 5 to 10 years from newspapers and... It's almost like now they should be rehired by all these online news
organizations. This is when we need them the most.
Yeah. And just because you just need a guy, like a veteran guy. Like, we always joke about producer Tim, our long-suffering producer.
Yes.
But he has kept us out of trouble numerous times because he always errs way on the side of caution.
No, I mean, and I think that's smart. Like, you need somebody who is aware of your dangers, right? Like, my editor is Lori, who Patrick has met a couple of times. And there's been several times she's been like, don't think you can write about this. You know, like, that, and that's crazy because people read what I say and they say, like, oh, you're pretty aggressive and having opinions and stuff. And she's, you know, I'll ask her sometimes, like, is this something that I can touch? And, you know, the standard for what I can say is different than the standard for what, like, I don't know, Joel Klatt could say, or, you know, like Terry Bradshaw or whatever. Those are like, you know, definite analysts who are associated with a sport, whereas people are just like, oh, it's Clay Travis. He's just an
That should be the name of the show.
Clay Travis is just an
Clay, this is the awkward part. We say goodbye. And yes,
this
leave.
Is awesome, man.
That was fun.
Now,
I appreciate you guys
having me
on. Are
you sticking around tomorrow for another quote-unquote secret shoot that we can't
We're
discuss?
Doing it on Thursday.
Thursday.
So we just finished one now, and I think this is like the 768th pilot that has been done at FS1.
Done a lot of pilots.
There have been a lot of pilots shot. So this version was done today, and then we'll do another one on Thursday, and then I'm sure there will be 460 more between now and
sounds
and,
like a lot of
football
fun.
Season. Yeah.
My favorite thing is that Clay just saying that will somehow end up on like awful announcing, and then once again, Dan and I will get in trouble.
Yeah, I'm hands off.
But I love it. I think it's great. We break news on
thanks,
this Clay. Podcast.
Yes.
Good stuff.
Good, see you. Good to see you. Appreciate you having
so
me.
Much.
Yep. It was awesome.
Where's everyone they can follow? You can follow him on Instagram and Twitter at Clay Travis. Simple
at
as
Clay
that.
Clay Travis.
Just Twitter and Facebook, not Instagram.
Well, you put an Instagram there.
No, I just put it for Jay and Dan, but maybe we should get you one.
Sorry,
yeah, you need to get
Instagram.
Sorry.
Sorry I had to hear this.
Sorry about that.
Mattress?
We already did
read
it.
Read some questions.
Oh, Facebook Live.
I sent
Well, guys, thanks for cleaning up my mess there.
And as we get to that, just real quick on Clay's pudding strike thing.
Yeah.
I found an article that he had eaten 275 puddings along with vitamins and liquids. He objects to the packaging of banana cream pie because there's not actual banana in it. And it said his first meal out of the strike, he wanted to eat at Wendy's.
Yeah. Ooh. I could see that, though. You want some meat, some protein.
Did he gain a lot of weight?
I'll follow up with Clay on that.
He might have lost weight because that would just go right through you after a while.
I feel like, I feel like a banana cream pie pudding now.
Okay, we got a question for Facebook
Who
Live from Kevin Burnett. Who's got bigger hands, Dan or Jay?
Well, Jay's much larger than me, so Jay will.
I don't necessarily know if that's
measure
true.
Up.
Yeah, see, it's about the same. Maybe a little. No. Mine might be a little longer, but yours are fatter. So you would have a stubbier penis. I might have a long, skinny penis, but you would have a stubby penis. And women sometimes prefer stubby peen.
Oh, hot.
Stubby peen? Old Dan Stubby Peen O'Toole. They called him back in Peterborough. Oh, stubby peens coming into town.
We're getting to
here we go. Max Starkman asks, how much In-N-Out do you guys eat in Cali? I went to San Diego for 4 days and mucked about 6 burgers.
Mucked. I get it about once a month.
Yeah, I'm probably about once a month, too. Yeah. I could do
guys?
More, but.
Yeah, that's about right.
Probably twice.
Yeah. A little less, but.
Rich, now that you're like a new Californian, how?
I've only had it once, and it was the first meal that I had when I moved out here.
And?
And it was delicious.
Yeah. I mean, it's weird because there's such a cult around it, and it took Dan
It's lined up at like 1 in the morning.
I know, it's insane.
Yeah. Always lined up.
Okay, here we go. 6 degrees of Engineer
yes.
Jim. Let's here, do
let's
it.
Let's do it.
We've been excited about this. Jim, intro go in first.
It's a little game we play on the Jan Dan podcast in which our award-winning engineer Jim, who's worked with the best in the biz, tells us how he possibly is related to the person we're about to say by 6 degrees, just like 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. Okay, this one from Elliot from Scotland. No, I'm not going to go
Scotland. You're not going to do it?
Nah, not enough of our viewers or listeners know who that is.
Really?
Let's try it. Let's go from Scotty Dub, the Dave Matthews Band.
Oh, deep.
There's 800 members, so,
yeah, so
gotta be a connection in there.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. My connection is not working directly. Well, I guess it did. We did a Farm Aid concert, and Dave.
Do they still do Farm Aid now? I think that's over, right?
I don't know. I think they did one last year.
Did they?
Yeah, I think it was in Chicago or something.
Chicago? That's a weird place.
Yeah.
To Farm Aid.
Yeah, they kind of move around, and I did it with Billy Bob, and we played in Columbus, Ohio, and was with Neil Young and Crazy Horse and Willie Nelson, Dave Matthews. It was cool. Emmylou Harris was there, Sheryl Crow, Brooks and Dunn.
Unreal.
Yeah,
Line
it was
Hina.
A great, Holy great, man. Great show. Yeah. Daniel Lanois, fellow Lanois, Canadian, yeah. played, too.
Lanois, is he on the Wall
no,
of Fame?
No, he's
not.
We're
going to get Lanois.
And Hootie and the Blowfish.
Oh, who that also, Darius Rucker is like a big country star.
Yeah, and he does a lot of stuff. The violin player, Boyd Tinsley, I think, does some stuff with them, too. Yeah.
So where do you stand on the Dave Matthews Band? Like, are you a fan? Are you...
I'm a fan. I think they're great. I'm not like one of the rabid, you know, follow them around the world everywhere or anything like that.
I hear they're amazing live, though.
They've got like one of those cult followings, don't they?
Yeah,
I'm
that's
not
what...
a huge fan, but I do hear that they are incredible.
Honestly, I don't own any of his records. You know, I'm not to say that I wouldn't listen to him because I do, but I just...
It's a lot of people in that band. Lot.
All right, let's do another one, Toolsy.
And
I'd show
good,
up at the first practice. I'm like, we're going to make like $5 each.
And live, they are just outrageous.
How many horn players are here?
But this is a legitimate question. Like, for example, speaking of your guys in GNR.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if people say, all right, what is Guns N' Roses now? After all these years, after all these lineup changes, what is Guns N' Roses? What is the bare minimum that real fans want from Guns N' Roses? And it's probably Axl and Slash, and to me it's Duff too.
Oh, yeah,
but,
for sure.
So if you have those three, because they had different drummers.
Yeah, right? And I know they had a replacement, you know, for Izzy, but... you know, Izzy
should be there.
It'd be great. And, you know, don't be surprised if he doesn't show up and play a couple of songs, you know.
Yes!
Don't quote me on that. Yeah. I speak with no merit, but, you know, they're still all friends and all that. And Izzy loves to jam. He loves to play. But it's I don't think it's one of those things where he wants to go out and tour the world again.
Right. He's got enough scratch. He's fine.
Yeah. You know, but he's just a killer songwriter, and he brings. It's really interesting that band. You know, Axl kind of brings this, you know, high energy. Brings that AC/DC Nazareth kind of that vocal, that edge to it, that hard rock edge. And, you know, Slash brings the riffs. You know, Izzy brings the Stonesy vibe and the writing to it. And Duff really brings, like, that punk element to the band.
Yeah, that's right.
And, you know, all those things combined, it's really something. And Steve and Slash had a great bond when they went to high school together. And they just had a thing growing up, learning how to play their instruments together that really worked out well. And, of course, when Matt joined the band, you know, he's just a monster. So you could do anything. But... I guess Frank's the same way, but we'll find out.
I can't wait to see it.
Yes.
I'm
next
so excited
is,
to see him.
Yeah.
From Adam Moser. This is the star of Roadhouse, one of the stars, Jeff Healey.
Oh, yeah, Jeff Healey.
Canadian, and not on the wall yet.
Yeah, we're getting him on.
Love Jeff Healey, and the answer is yes.
Yes.
What was it? What is his big hit? These eyes of mine.
Angel Eyes.
Angel Eyes.
Angel Eyes, yeah. Yeah.
He was in Roadhouse.
He did a great version of While My Guitar Gently Weeps,
too.
Yeah,
that's right.
Man, killer.
He had a club in Toronto for the longest time,
He had like a blues live blues bar, and it was very popular, right on Spadina and...
King or Queen?
I think, or something like that, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. I almost had a chance to work with him. Came close a couple of times. But he used a mastering engineer to master his records. I don't know if he did them all, but a very, very famous, phenomenal mastering engineer. And he mastered all the Guns N' Roses records as well.
Oh, okay.
George Marino, the late, great George Marino. And George did all the Zeppelin records, AC/DC, Guns N' Roses, and list is... Aerosmith.
Wow.
I mean, he's like the god of mastering rock.
When you go to master a record, dumb it down, if you can sum it up in like a minute. Is it painstaking, or is it just like, no, I just got to tweak this?
You know what it's like? It's like going over to your best friend's house, who's got the coolest stereo of all your friends, putting on your record, kicking back, and having him, he's got like some cool tone knobs to make your record that you brought over to him sound like nothing you've ever heard before.
So do you listen to a record before it's been mastered, then after, and you say like, wow? Do they do that for the band, or they just...
You know, for the most part, the answer is yes. Sometimes there's little change, and sometimes there's an enormous change. And, you know, usually you develop a rapport with a mastering engineer, and you guys have similar tastes, and, you know, Bob Ludwig's a great guy. A guy who's a very close friend, Richie, who works in the studio next door here, Joe Gastworth is a guy that I've been using for years. Really, Joe and George Marino were the two main guys I used.
And like and, someone like George Marino, a band with a guy who's done that many records, at that point is a band like whatever he
says. Yeah, you really trust their instincts. Yeah. You know, and you want to get
that's a lot of trust.
Yeah, and you want to get their first impressions, and you go to the guy because you like other stuff that he's done, and you think that you have similar tastes in what's needed. And, you know, I don't necessarily, not to say he wouldn't do an amazing job, I don't know if I'd bring Guns N' Roses to Joe Gastworth, but I'm sure he would do an insane job.
Right.
But, you know, like if I was doing Sheryl Crow or somebody like that, he'd be my first call.
Right.
You know, he does 311 and all sorts of really cool
Tool's
bands.
His favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's phenomenal. So it's, you know, different strokes for different folks.
Yeah.
It's finding the right guy for the right thing.
I like that.
It's so much. Mastering is the greatest. The
sounds
vibe
like it.
Is great. Oh, it's awesome.
How do you become a guy who masters records? Like, that's the thing. Do you start as a producer and then eventually?
You know, those guys actually started under other mastering guys.
Right.
They got jobs back when they would like cut using a cutting lathe and actually cutting the vinyl and
last question, Jim.
The platters and
now,
all that stuff.
The way bands are recording in their homes, you know, Pro Tools and all that. Is it still as relevant? Like, is that?
You know, I think it is, but there's an awful lot of guys out there that think they know what they're doing.
Like garage.
I'll just master it myself, man. And they make something and they put it out and, you know, it's a little bit like nails on a chalkboard,
right.
You know. But, you know, it has changed the game. It's changed the game for everybody up and down the line. And there's no rules. So, you know, you might find some kid in his bedroom who just killed it mastering.
Right.
You don't have to be lonely. As always, we thank you for that.
Jim, that was very cool.
Make sure you visit Casper.com/JD, and then you can get $50 off a mattress.
Can I read just a couple more Facebook Live questions before we go? This is from Frankie Fontaine. Engineer Jim and Jay, what new band should I check out?
Oh, wow. I would
notice he didn't ask me that.
Yeah.
311. Check out 311.
You can't say they're a new band.
I'm going to say that there's a band called Beach Slang. They had a record out last year in 2015 that I'm kind of just getting into now. Very Replacements meets Japan Droids.
Replacements, wow.
Very cool record. Beach Slang. Highly recommend that. And then we got a question for Dan here.
Fetty Wap.
Yeah. Fetty Wap.
Yeah, he's on everything right now.
So, Beach Slang and Fetty Wap.
Yeah.
Eric Sailor asks, what's Dan's favorite Las Vegas pool to watch being cleaned?
I don't go to the pools. It's only when my room is facing a pool do I watch to see what's going on.
Graham Howison says, hey, Bods, just recovering after an emergency appendectomy.
Ooh.
Best way to recover? Watching Jay and Dan live. Good job, Graham.
Yeah, when you get an organ taken out or fixed, you just dial up Jay and Dan.
Jay.
We're the organ specialists.
Let's read a review from iTunes.
Oh, yeah. Toolsy's got them right here. Let's read some of these reviews.
We got a 5-star review from S. Bacon 11. This podcast is funny. These guys are funny. I'd buy them beers or burritos either or.
Yes.
Nice. Love I like that.
We've got 5 stars from Mike's School of Literacy. I found out about these guys when they hosted The Herd and been hooked ever since. The humor translates for this Tennessean. I also love the drops by Pat when he shows up, of course. Mike,
I gotta say, Pat has been showing up very consistently.
Tori Martino, 5 stars. My favorite podcast, as everyone around me knows, because I don't stop tweeting and talk about Jay and Dan. Put this in your ear holes. You won't regret it. #WhyNotIt.
Tori, Cassie Martino.
And 5 stars from Nalami. Humor in sports, I love it. And you don't have to be Canadian either. Eh?
I'll kill your dog.
Either.
Go to iTunes, subscribe to this podcast and the Fox Sports Live podcast, and rate it. Rate it and put your comments on there, and we will read the best ones.
The Fox Sports Live podcast is daily. We do it Monday to Friday. It's a half-hour podcast. We turn our TV show into an audio only, and it's a sweep in the nation.
We've got to go. We got to go to a meeting. This has been an absolute treat.
How have we not got out of these meetings yet?
Hey, it's very important that we meet.
You know, I went to a resort this week. Beautiful place. 5 pools. Many jacuzzis.
Wow. Ooh.
All I could do was think of Toolsy.
Yeah, staring there like a creep.
It was nuts.
Yeah.
My erections have returned.
Toolsy. Old stubby peens.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks for watching, everybody.
At StubbyPeen69.
They kept the pools open late, too.
Oh, yeah. What time till?
Yeah.
Midnight?
Kind of like an all-nighter deal.
Whoa! Yeah. I'm coming.
Oh, boy. I'm just going to take my napkins here.
So long, my dime eating.
Hey, you took care of the pool.
Elvis has just left the building.
Love you, boys. Have a great one.